you know, there was no pro league in the United States of America. There was Athletes Unlimited, but it's not really a league. It's more like an event, and we applaud what they're doing. But this is the first women's indoor professional volleyball league in the United States of America. And to have it be available and be seen for all these young athletes to aspire to play, I think that's how we've left it better.
This is the Leave It Better podcast, powered by the Side Out Foundation. Here's your host, Hall of Fame coach, Janice Kruger.
Hey, listeners, this is Janice Kruger. I'm here today to talk to Jen Spiker, the CEO of the Pro Volleyball Federation. And we're going to talk about the journey that she has had in building this professional league here in the United States. The challenges of incorporating the athletes and their franchise owners in that building process. And along the way, we're going to talk about the amazing fan enthusiasm that we have that is setting attendance records. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Janice, for having me. Great to be here.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you. It's such an exciting time for women athletes, volleyball athletes, and for your pro league that you've been working so hard on. Just a couple of things here. I know in your day-to-day kinds of things, I believe you've had an opportunity working with the founders, and I believe we have a Super Bowl quarterback in Trent Dilfer, and then we have a couple volleyball friends of mine and awesome people, Cecile Renald and Lori Corbelli, that you have an opportunity to work with. And how fun that was.
On a daily basis. They're terrific. Yep. We hired Cecile right as I was being brought on to lead our volleyball operations team. And obviously Olympian Lori Corbelli, as well as Olympian Logan Tom, work with me on a day-to-day basis. So,
yeah, those are some amazing folks for sure in the realm of volleyball. Some of your tasks have been to do the strategic growth and development paths for a healthy league. And you've come from a very special background, and I think it was Level Up, in which you were working with multi-million-dollar corporations to help them set themselves up for success. And I'm sure that's a very positive thing that you're bringing into the league. Also, with all your background, you establish a sound business model. You're working to establish a sound business model for the Pro League to help us be profitable and to accomplish the mission and the vision of the league, of the founders and everyone else involved. And you have a pretty big job, Jen. This is it seems to me like a really big job, and probably a lot of airline miles are involved in you getting around. Can you talk a little bit about where we are right now in the league? We started in January, and now we're hitting towards the end of March, and we're rolling right along, and it seems to me there's been a lot of success. Can you tell me how you're feeling about things?
Well, first of all, I can tell you that as a league, I don't think that we could have orchestrated the success of what we're seeing any better. The very first match in Omaha, January 24th, was, you know, over 11,500 people in attendance, paid in attendance. And that match went to five sets and was a nail biter all the way through. We're halfway through our season now. And literally, I just had our kickoff meeting for the championships. We'll have a press release later this week about where those championships will be and who will be hosting those. It's just been all kinds of wonderful success. For each of the groups, the ladies involved, the coaches involved, we've had a heck of a time, and yeah, we're excited about planning for 2025, which is what we're doing right now.
Okay. Yeah. And I believe we have seven teams, franchises currently, and you're adding, we already know you're adding three more in 2025.
Yep. We'll go into 2025 with 10 total. We're adding Kansas City, Indianapolis, and Dallas. And we're excited about that. We're literally in the throes of planning what our schedule looks like with 10 teams and 9 opponents and all the matches that we're going to be playing in 2025.
So exciting. I can't even tell you. As a collegiate coach, this is just so exciting to be able to have this type of season outside of the college season where I get super excited to watch those matches, and now to bring it to this where it just gets to carry over and really highlight these phenomenal athletes that you guys have in the league. Can you talk about the type of athlete that we have in the league and compared to maybe just fresh out of college, recruited or not recruited, drafted?
Yeah. So we do have a number of drafted players starting on our teams. We also have a number of veterans. You know, our average tenure of professional playing experience is 5 years. And so you've got, you know, Nutsara Tomkom, who's got, you know, 16 years of professional playing experience, playing on the same court as a Morgan Lewis, who came out of Oregon just this year. But the parity of our games has been fantastic. You know, there's a lot of very competitive matches. Yesterday, the Columbus Fury and the Atlanta Vibe met for the very first time, and there was a four-set match, and I think one of the sets was 32-30. So it was full stop. I mean, they were doing it. And then last night's match against, you know, the Mojo, who is not won as many games as some of the other teams, but, you know, they whooped up on the Vegas Thrill and they took the sweep in three. So our athletes are drafted NCAA players. They're, you know, 35, 36 year old women playing pro for 10 plus years. We have, as you know, 14 international athletes that have come from 10 different countries, including Bulgaria, Russia, Montenegro, Italy, Colombia. We've got fantastic, NCAA drafted players and players that like Jill Gillen, who, you know, jumps out of the sky. She's 5'7", but she's got like a 40 inch vertical jump. And so the sport is exciting to watch. The athletes are exciting to watch, and we're having a great time putting it together season two.
Yes. Wonderful. So what does it feel like for you to be taking this journey of creating this community of volleyball enthusiasts? And I haven't had the privilege yet to be in person. That's something I'm still working on, based on where I've located. But in watching it, it seems like you're doing a really nice job at creating that. Can you talk about what that feels like to you and where we are?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting, Janice. People ask me what's the most difficult part about this job, and I think for me, the most difficult and really surprising part of this job was in the beginning how skeptical the volleyball community was about anything like this happening, taking place and being successful. And, you know, I get they've, you know, had a couple times where it was tried and that didn't work. But, you know, the difference is that our league is going to be owned by different owners. Each team is owned, owns different cities, different teams or markets in different markets. And so, you know, that's the difference. It's not the league owning any of the teams, right? It's everybody being autonomous to be able to, you know, do what they need to do with tickets in Omaha versus Atlanta versus Orlando and create the excitement in their own city. And so that's certainly, was the original kind of like get over that hump. And now that we actually put our money where our mouth is and we've delivered on everything we've said we'd deliver on, I think people are just super excited about what's next. And, you know, what's next is continued growth. A championship is happening here in the next 6 weeks. We'll be playing our championship matches on the 15th and 19th or the 18th of May in a city to be determined in the next 48 hours, which it'll come out in a press release. And just, you know, delivering that $1 million that we've promised the championship team, as well as the MVP trophies and all the player awards. So it's going to be an exciting 6 weeks. And while I'll be disappointed that it's over, there's always next season to look forward to.
Yeah, what a great base you have to build from. And I'm reading some exciting news just recently that you've already made an announcement that in 2025 there will be an increase in some salary for the players and bonus structure. And I think that may have always been there. But that's pretty exciting. Is that based on just the acceptance and all of the followers and folks in attendance?
Well, sure.
For you,
it's based on the revenue that we've been able to generate, and it's based on the owners knowing what the special product this is, and the board of directors approving what it amounts to, basically a 25% increase across the board. We are also providing medical benefits to all of our athletes. So that'll be super exciting.
That's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. You know, when I was, it's like the investment in the female athlete right now is such a, it's in such a great place. The excitement and the fan base and the TV coverage and all those things have to be just sitting really nice for you as this is taking place.
Well, yeah, women's sports is having a moment, and certainly volleyball is having a moment. You know, I don't have to tell you about the Memorial Stadium game that I was at with 92,003 people in attendance. And, you know, just volleyball, indoor volleyball in general is just really taken off. And, you know, we're, you know, it's not a coincidence that our founders decided to build this league 3 years ago. You know, they had conversations with executives at the Bally Sports Network, ESPN and Big Ten Network, and all three executives shared with them on separate occasions that women's indoor NCAA volleyball had passed all other sports to become the third most viewed sport in college, just behind men's basketball and men's football. And that's a pretty special accomplishment.
That's a huge accomplishment. And actually, I was in that crowd of the 92,000.
You and me both.
So I was there with you. Yes. How was that? That was such an amazing thing.
It was unbelievable.
We'll have to get some of the pro championship in maybe that August venue in a stadium somewhere. How would that be?
That'd be great.
So to me, like, I kind of started in the early years in volleyball. And I don't know if you know Jim Coleman. Jim Coleman was one of the big time educators at the time. People like Mick Haley and Russ Rose and Terry Laskevich and all those guys kind of came through him. And at the beginning of Title IX at Nebraska, this feels to me a little bit like the next space of a Title IX boost. And it's not, well, hopefully we don't go backwards, right, with what's going on in the courts. But I'm listening to the players, and I'm hearing the players. They're so grateful for this opportunity. They're so grateful for being able to play in the States, which is another really big benefit and something I know was a very important part of this league. You know, it feels to me that this is the time, and I love hearing these athletes as they sort of take on the opportunity you're creating, but then also they're taking on this next level of push and excitement to help build this league.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And they're sharing their successes, and they're sharing with other players that aren't in our league yet, and certainly players that are still playing in Europe, how much fun they're having and how exciting it is. So they're definitely helping to promote our league and our, you know, kind of financial model and what we're doing, which is a little bit different than some of the other leagues that you're very aware of. And certainly promoting that to other players and international players outside of the United States.
Yeah. I think I may have read somewhere that you're getting contacted from folks around the world having some interest in the pro league and what's going on here in the States. That has to feel really exciting for you. And
Janice, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get at least three or four emails from people all around the country, all around the world, excuse me, you know, countries that I've never even heard of, reaching out and asking about player opportunities in Pro Volleyball Federation.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really amazing. The impact for you all. So you have your fan base, you have the young player that you're trying to build this connection with. In what ways are you working on that to really bring the young generation in an opportunity to see? It seems very family oriented. A lot of the folks in attendance where parents are bringing their kids in. What's that feel like, and what's happening with the
Well, it's really the team's responsibility to fill their seats and to fill their stadiums. And so they're reaching out. There's a lot of outreach to the local clubs, obviously. But it is a very, very family oriented event. You know, volleyball is a very cool sport. As Morgan Hentz has said, you know, something great happens every single time, every single point. And so it's easy to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch. It's quick, which is why we've gone out and secured Bolt 6 so that, you know, all those calls are 100% accurate. And, you know, people love looking up at the stadium or looking up at the scoreboard to see the Bolt 6 mark on the screen. And, you know, it just adds another fan experience that's really cool.
That is really huge. I absolutely love that part as well. And for you to have only two officials and no linesmen, and just it's clear, it's on video, you can see it. I'm sure that was a pretty big investment to bring something like that into the league.
It was a huge investment. In fact, you know, it's over 1.2 million for the number of matches that we have, and so each team has, you know, divide that by seven, and that's what each team has you know, committed to, and it's a multi-year deal. So, you know, that technology alone has made our game so much more fun and enjoyable to watch. So you don't have a, you know, super long, you know, reviews of video. You send it over to Frisco. Our Frisco office takes a peek at it and sends it back within 30 seconds. Our average time, at least on like net touches and ball touches, is 30 seconds. Our average time on in and out is 0.03 seconds.
Yeah. Splendid piece for the game. Let's talk a little bit about the coaches of the league. I know, you know, I'm in line here to have a conversation with Kathy George, and I know several of the folks that are actually working in your league. Can you talk to me a little bit about what the league is doing and helping, or is that for the coaches, for their staff, to try to make this pretty special for them as well, along with the athletes and the performers?
Yeah, well, one of the things that my team is doing is we're going out and identifying resources that are going to help the coaches to be better coaches, as well as the players to be better players. So we're talking to all kinds of different vendors about, you know, coming on board and being available to the teams, whether it's the coaching staff or the players, for health and wellness, right? And so we're doing that for them. You know, the team level and the team practices and you know, all of the game analysis and strategy is all done by the coaches. But, you know, we've gone and secured Volley Station to help them with all those replays and all the stats data. And so they have that at their fingertips the second they come off the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
which is very helpful. You know, my staff and I in our inaugural season worked all last year in contacting the 325 women that left the United States of America in 22 and went and played nine months of overseas over in Europe and other countries. And so we provided each of the coaches a kind of a hit list of those players and their level of interest. And so we were able to go ahead and do that for them so that once they got that, they already understood and kind of knew who they wanted and were able to watch film on them through Volley Station and Huddle and other programs. And they were able pretty quickly to decide which of the players they wanted on their teams. And then they went out and signed him.
Yeah. I can't wait to ask Kathy a little bit about how it's different than the college coaching, you know, when you have.
Oh, I'm sure she'll tell you it's very different.
Yeah, I bet it is. That's for
well,
sure.
I mean, think about it this way, Janice. You've got a college coach who's been there for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. And each year they add four or five players as opposed to, this year, you helicoptered in a coach and their new staff and all 16 of their new players. And all together at once, boom, go.
Boom.
Win you a championship. So it's a lot different. Yeah. And I think she'll share that with you. She's got great perspective, though.
Yeah, she does. I always believe that it's awesome to have experience in volleyball, you know, for you as just business leader and understanding all the things about how to create something really special and grow financially and with the vision and things that are there. You have a volleyball side of you. And, I, you know, kind of funny here, story. I remember recruiting. Did you ever play in Las Vegas at a tournament when you were a player? Do you remember that part? No?
No, I started... When I graduated high school in 1986, it was like almost the first year where somebody said, hey, let's go play AAU. And I was like, what's that? right? I didn't know what that was. And our college coach that I was going to, you know, going to be playing for, he put myself and my setter on a team with a bunch of other D1 athletes, Division I seniors that were going to play Division I college. And there was like 10 of us, and we literally traveled the country. We never played in Vegas. We played in Chicago and Indiana and a couple others. But it was really new back when I was doing it.
Yes.
And it's obviously completely different now. But yeah, so that was the first year I'd ever even heard of AAU, was the summer between my senior year of high school and my freshman year of college. And we played for about probably 60 days and ended up doing very, very well. And then everybody kind of, you know, went their separate ways. We had some going to Purdue and one going to Arizona, one going to Arizona State. And then my setter and I went to Wayne State in downtown Detroit and played Division II.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I coached at Division II for 9 years at Nebraska Omaha before Division I. Yeah. Hi there. Janice here. I want to take a minute to tell you about something very personal and important to me, my job. I'm the brand ambassador to the Side Out Foundation, and I've been a part of it since it began about 20 years ago. Believe it or not, I was recruited to join the Side Out team by the founder's father. He looked me up online and asked me out to lunch. That's when I got to learn more about his wife, Gloria. Gloria is the reason this Side Out Foundation exists. Her son and husband wanted to give her more time, and it worked. Gloria was this fiery redhead that was so full of energy and joy and happiness. They'd invite me and my partner over to Thanksgiving, and Gloria would dance around the house. She always made me feel so welcome. I joined the team at Side Out for the very same reason we get athletes involved with our Dig Pink program, because I wanted to be a part of something bigger than myself. I wanted to see Gloria have more time, and I was thinking about all my female friends I could potentially be helping. One of the goals of this podcast is to let people know that they can help us help people living with metastatic breast cancer see more tomorrows. How? By harnessing the passion and power of youth volleyball to raise money that will go toward real research and clinical trials that really do give families more time with their loved ones. That's one of my favorite things about this job, is that you can actually see the results of our research and how it helps give people more time. For more information, head to our website, side-out.org. Now back to the show. So what? One of the things is your name showed up on a list for the college coaches, and one of the, I guess, guy that had a little more time on his hands was finding, you know, the Jennifer Spiker, the Alice Blocker, the something Digger. He was finding all these names that had some connection to the, you know, the skills and things. And I remember you. Back at that time, as your name. And so very thrilled to see you here leading this, knowing where you came from and all that experience. I believe you also have some experience coaching is it club level, high school level, or both? And there's a daughter involved somewhere.
Yeah, I coached 1 year of freshman high school when I was way younger. And, you know, of course, the parents drove me out. and then my daughter was 13. She was in the seventh grade, and I had sat through about three tournaments and umpteen million practices where the coach, who had never coached at the high school level at the time, was basically not teaching them rotational or perimeter defense. And I was like, I'm paying way too much money for my child who has to go be a freshman next year in high school to try to make a team and not be able to know how to play defense. And so myself and a bunch of other coaches who were pretty upset with the coaching staff at a much, much larger club, because, you know, they just didn't have the, you know, they had eight regional teams. They had eight state level teams for one age group. How can you find coaches for that? So we left and we started Monsters Volleyball up on the east side of Detroit. And I coached my daughter's team for 7 years. took her all the way through. And there was a core of them, maybe four or five, that stayed with us. And we had a great time doing it.
Yeah.
So
how's that helped you in, you know, really, you know, starting at the base of this? I know you got your business background, which is you're phenomenal at, but just that little piece, is there anything about that makes it just special to you?
Well, it's special. My daughter and I are living it together, right? She's away at college, but you know, we talk every day and she's so excited about what we're doing. And, you know, she's no longer playing college ball. She wants to be a vet and she's currently in organic chemistry and there's no time for volleyball in that particular discipline. But, you know, it's special to have the volleyball knowledge that I do. I'll tell you that Dr. Cecile and Lori have forgotten more about volleyball than I'll ever know, which is why they're on my team, and Logan Tom as well. You know, my background is really the business side. And, you know, for many years, I have built sales and marketing teams over and over and again. I've sold globally. I've negotiated contracts globally. So I do bring the business background to the relationship. And that's, you know, that's my forte. I let Cecile and Lori and Logan make the volleyball decisions. And because, you know, they certainly have the knowledge, they know what to look for. But, you know, it's nice to have the background in volleyball because I can talk the talk and the, you know, the players know that I was an athlete. But Janice, I played middle blocker when they didn't require a vertical jump. That's how old I am. So there you go.
Oh, that's so fun. So Logan Tom. Okay. I listened to, maybe it was a podcast or a conversation you were having, sharing sort of the position that she has, for the league. I remember watching her as a very young individual playing with the big girls, and, you know, sort of being at the top with big girls. To have her now, with all that experience, as someone you get an opportunity to work with, how special is that? And
she's a super special individual. And, you know, what she's doing right now for me is director of international player strategies. She's over in Israel. That's where she lives. And she's talking to athletes and coaches over there every day, explaining to them, you know, what we're about and, you know, what we're doing. And she's been terrific. She and Lori and Cecile are the team that picks our players of the week. They certainly know, like I said, more about volleyball than I ever will. And so they're the ones that are picking players of the week and deciding on volleyball operations and, you know, what next season's going to look like and putting, you know, putting a lot of their opinions and certainly the opinions of the athletes into the structure of our league. I do love working with Logan. She's about as direct as I am. And so we get on very well.
She is.
She doesn't mince many words.
You know, that's why you're so good at business. Okay. You don't waste any time. So if you had anything that you've learned so far this year with the league, is there anything you could share with us about some small thing, or is this happening more in the franchise bases in the own cities?
Yeah, I think it's happening more at the franchise level. You know, I had a chance to meet with a team this morning that played that I got to watch last night. And, you know, I just wanted to spend some time with them and have breakfast and, you know, give me the feedback, give me the good, the bad, and the ugly. And they were terrific about it. There's all kinds of good things happening. And, you know, like any first year league, there's going to be bumps in the road. We just need to learn how to get over the bumps and to the other side together. And we've certainly been able to do that. You know, there's a lot of different personalities involved with different ownership groups and, you know, making sure that everybody's happy as much of the time as possible, which isn't always the case and can't always be done. But at the same time, you know, making sure this league is economically viable, it brings quality play and it brings fairness. And those are the three pillars at the end of the day that we're working on every day to make sure that these women are able to play in a fantastic league and showcase their talents.
I noticed that, you know, I'm originally from Northeast Nebraska, my Supernovas are racking up some attendance marks, super proud of that. what's that mean to you all to have a sort of a central part of the the country really, demonstrating and showing what it's like to bring that many folks together to watch a volleyball played at this level.
People in Omaha, Nebraskans, I mean, volleyball is their thing and they love it. And, you know, Nebraska Cornhuskers have been so good for so long. And, at the end of the day, it's super special to be able to create all these records in the CHI Center with the Omaha Supernovas. They're a great team to work with. They're a fantastic group, the City Ventures team. And we love having them as part of our league. And, certainly they're going to do it right. And they always have, and they always will.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It is definitely, there's not a lot there that distracts folks from coming to those events. So absolutely get that. If you were to say something to our group, our followers, our high school volleyball coaches, players, colleges, players and coaches, we've seen professional basketball, probably even soccer to some degree, but our knowledge base of what it's like to have a pro league in volleyball, that's in the States, that we can truly understand the makings of that in terms of recruiting and setting up the league. Can you kind of describe that to these folks in as short of a way as possible of that, so they can understand what it all involves in putting a team together, like everything that went into putting this team together, even up to the players and how they got the players and the draft. And so,
well, as you can imagine, when our founders set out to create the league, they started to identify the founding partners, and those founding partners come in a variety of ways. They could be, owners in markets. They could be people like myself on staff, right? The commissioners or chief executive officers, Cecile, who became a founding staff member. They can be team owners and team players, right? Which is what we did all last year, was go out and identify the players and the coaches. They can be sponsors, sponsors in market to sponsor, Franklin Sports that created our ball, Spalding Net Systems that are, providing us the net systems, Ren Athletics, who are doing all of our apparel. Those are all founding partners. And as you start to identify those founding partners, it comes in a rhythm. First, it's the staff. Then it's the teams and the markets and where are we going to play? Then it's the arenas. And then it's, well, who's going to coach this team? Right? Now we have to put our front office together. Now we have to get ticketing sales. Now we have to get marketing. And then they start signing players. And then they start looking for venue dates. And then they start looking for sponsorships. And then, all of that snowball just kind of rolls when you start to do the little things. And that's what we started with, right? We started with the first owner. First owner was Dan DeVos, Grand Rapids Rise. And then we announced shortly thereafter the Burrow family and their involvement.
Yeah.
And then after that, we announced Atlanta and Columbus and Omaha all in the same week. And then slowly we announced Orlando and then San Diego and then Vegas. And those were our founding seven. And so each one of those teams then set out to start hiring their teams to put these things together. The league, as I said, doesn't own any of the teams, but we sit on the top and we make sure that all the right policies are in place, all the right processes, all the right rules are followed. Compliance is there. So that, again, we can put this together and make sure it's economically viable. We can make sure it's a quality product, and we make sure it's fair for the athletes and fair for all the teams competing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love that. The athletes are, you're really looking at the athlete and finding the very best, as supporting them as best you can, for them to have lots of success, to be able to, make a living playing a sport that they absolutely love. You're doing a great job, Jen.
Thank you.
Hi there. I want to take a minute to tell you about the Dig Pink program. You most likely know I've got some history as a head volleyball coach. Coaching for me was about providing opportunities for my players to grow and learn life lessons and to become the best volleyball players they could be. At the Side Out Foundation, we believe in using the power and influence of sport to build student athletes as people on and off the court. Players learn the value and importance of giving back to their community working as a team, and taking initiative to get involved, all while directly helping people living with metastatic breast cancer and funding game-changing research. That is the Dig Pink journey. Dig Pink gives those wanting to do good a chance to be a part of something bigger than just volleyball. For more information, head to our website, side-out.org. All right, back to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all about the athletes. It's all about, signing them up for next year. And of course, we're going to have a draft, another draft. Our draft was so successful. Janice, I don't know if you know this, but we drafted 35 women out of the NCAA and 30 of them showed up to training camp.
That's awesome, right?
That's an amazing number to have there. And of the five that didn't, I think two went to Europe, one's playing in Puerto Rico, and two of them chose not to play. So it's a fantastic impediment to what we're building and the belief that these women have and the desire for them to want to stay home so that they can be with their families and friends and be in the United States of America and showcase their talents here on American soil.
Yeah, it does feel as though that's a high priority and something that's very special to this group and for the groups that are going to be following them. It's really a awesome piece for us. So any luck? There's a team coming out east?
We're talking to a team in the Northeast, yes. Okay. We're talking to a number of other markets. But yeah, we hopefully will be there. Certainly the Barclays Center has reached out to me, but nobody in New York yet.
Okay. So we're not going to publish this for a while. You're going to give us a heads up so when we do, they'll know where the championship is going to be?
I can tell you it's probably going to be Central America.
Okay.
Central. Not far from where you grew up.
Okay. All right. There we go. I got to book my ticket. So, well, Jen, if there's any advice from you to a young, inspired player that wants to play pro that you would like to give them about this opportunity?
I would say just keep following your dreams. I mean, if you look at Jill Gillen, she'll tell you that she was told no by every single Division I coach that she approached at 5'7". And you know what? Somebody gave her a chance. The head coach at Arkansas brought her on.
Yep.
And
yep.
You know what? Never did anybody think somebody who's 5'7" could be playing professionally, not only literally in the United States, but not even in Europe. And she's doing it, you know? So yep. Stick with your dreams. Work hard. Bet on yourself, believe in yourself. And that's certainly, certainly what I've done. You know, I've followed and done what I've loved doing all my life. And, you know, and it's all paying off being in this position right here.
I'm excited that you're there. I think your leadership is just really phenomenal and the what you're building is great. We're going to share this with all of our folks in the Side Out community. In Dig Pink, and hopefully we'll get everybody out to watch one of these great matches in person. It's great to see it on TV, but it's also an amazing thing to see in person.
It's so much better in person. You got to get out to a match.
Got to get out to a match.
Got to get out.
Okay, let's make we're going to leave that as our last thing. Make the effort to get out to a match. So we're going to try to fill that stadium up for the championship.
That's right. The bigger arenas are 17 to 18.
All right.
1,000.
Okay. We need to go there. I'm pretty sure they're going to be full.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm betting on it.
It's going to be exciting. That's for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please share your feedback with us at www.side-out.org.